Who knows the work of Barry Schwartz on the paradox of choice? Few people. Well, Barry Schwartz does research on the paradox of choice. And one of his conclusions is that for most products, we have a lot of options available. And the result of this is that some people just don't choose one option for a product because they don't know what to choose. And if they choose something, often they are not really satisfied with the option they have chosen. So this is also true for system configuration tools. Maybe this guy will end up with an empty cart in the supermarket because he doesn't know what to choose. Some people new to the field of system configuration tools don't know what tool will fit them best. So the situation currently is that you have different communities within the system configuration field, each with different sizes, their own vocality often, and this guy in the middle wants to pick a tool that fits his situation. He wants to go for a system configuration tool to automate his infrastructure. So which tools should he pick? Well, in practice, he's influenced by the people already using a tool, who are really convinced that their tool is the best, sometimes even a bit religious about their tool, and he ends up picking one of the tools. And the next guy has exactly the same problem. So what can we do about this? Because the tool that he eventually chooses might not be the best option for him. So what we did is we developed a comparison framework that allows you to easily compare system configuration tools with each other based on your own needs. So we protect this guy in the middle to make a better, a more informed choice in less time. In this presentation, I will first discuss the comparison framework itself. We evaluated 11 existing tools using this framework, and because the evaluations of these tools were way too large to fit in one LISA paper, we made a website that allows you to search and query the evaluations of all the system configuration tools we made. So Bart will give a demo of that website, and the last part of the presentation will be a list of gaps we identified in the current state of the art. So first, the comparison framework. This is the typical architecture of a system configuration tool. You have a set of operators, your system administrators, that create the configuration specification for your input, for your infrastructure. This configuration specification is stored in a repository, often a version controlled repository, and is given to the system configuration tool. The tool consists conceptually of two parts, a translation agent and a deployment agent. The task of the translation agent is to translate the input written by the system administrators in the repository to device-specific profiles. So for each managed device, the translation agent generates a profile. And it is then the task of the deployment agent, which runs on every device, to really enforce this profile on every device. Based on this picture, we distinguished four types of properties in our comparison framework. The first type of properties deals with how this input looks like. Is it a declarative input specification, an imperative language? What is the abstraction level of the language? Stuff like that. The second type of properties deals with the runtime behavior, so the translation agent and the deployment agent. What platforms does the tool support? Windows systems, network equipment, Unix systems, things like that. And how centralized or decentralized does the tool operate? The third type of properties deals with the operator. What are the processes? How people in an organization deal with system configuration? One example could be that if you want to make a change to your DMZ or to the configuration of one of the servers in your DMZ, that change needs to be signed off by a senior system administrator. So all these more process-oriented properties are the third category in our framework. And the last category is tool support. Is there enough documentation available for the tool? How strong is the community? How active is the community? Are there training opportunities, commercial support for the tool you want to choose, things like that. So four type of properties: properties dealing with the input specification, runtime properties, process properties, and tool support properties. In total, we defined 19 properties, and for each of those properties, we made an evaluation of how well the 11 tools in our paper, deal with these properties. We chose 6 commercial tools based on which commercial tools are most mentioned in analyst reports, and 5 open source tools. And these tools were chosen based on how much they were referenced in LISA papers and how often they are used in the LISA community in general. So we have the framework with 19 properties, 11 tools evaluated using these 19 properties, and all this information is on the website, which will Bart demonstrate now.
Well, a demo of the website. At this link, we have our website that gives an in-depth evaluation of each tool. Because we had too much information that resulted from our evaluations, we couldn't include it all into the paper. So first feature of our website is an overview. And disco, apparently. Okay. No, it's okay now. On the left hand in the table, you see each of the properties that we identified and included in our evaluation framework. And for each of those properties, we determined some fixed values that you see for each tool in this table. So for example, for the language type, we have declarative and imperative. And then you can see for each tool if they have a declarative or an imperative interface. When you click on each of those properties in the left column, you get an overlay that describes what the property means, and this is also the description that you find in our paper. This is the first way that you can easily zoom into which tools you want to look into and which fit your needs. You see each of the 19 properties that we included in this column or in this table. And then you can look into each of those tools more in detail. And in the tools section, you see each of those tools. For example, Puppet, you first see on the left, in the left column, you see each of the specification, each of the properties. The second column, you see those values that we determined. And in the last column, you see a description why we think those properties are like that for that tool, or we say why they aren't a match. And then on the bottom of the page, you can comment on each of those tools and give comments on our evaluation, or if they're not or you want to specify or clarify some of the things that are in there. So for example, we send out the links to these tools to each of the communities. And for example, on the Puppet entry, we got a comment about the IX support, and we updated our evaluation based on that comment. We're going to try in the next months and years to keep the table up to date and our evaluation up to date. And we would like to encourage everyone to comment on our evaluation. And then the last feature of our website is a search facility where you can search using keywords. So for example, if you want a declarative tool, can everybody stop downloading torrents? Now you see a list of declarative tools, and you want to use it to manage your network as well. You can refine your search. And then you should see the tools that have that are declarative and that support network configuration, and you can look into them closer. And now Thomas will go on detailing some of, or clarifying some of the gaps that we identified in the current state of the art of tools while doing our evaluation.
Okay, thank you. So on the website, you have the in-depth evaluations of every tool we studied. You have an overview table that summarizes all the properties, and you can use the search wizard to quickly trim down the list of tools to the tools that fit your needs. While making these evaluations, we saw some gaps in the current state of the art, some areas in which there was very poor tool support, and these are also listed in the paper. The first gap is that we think there is a need for better abstractions and system configuration tools. A bit in analogy with the evolution in the programming language community, we think it would be good that system configuration tools also created higher level abstractions that allow a system administrator to think on a more abstract level on your over your infrastructure. The second gap is that system configuration tools should adapt to the target audience processes. So you have your way of working in your organization, how you do system administration, and your tool should adapt to that way of working and not the other way around. One example of this is the what I already mentioned. If you have a process that says every change to the configuration of servers in my DMZ needs to be signed off by one manager, or if it involves a change to my web infrastructure, two people need to sign it off because that is critical for my organization, your system configuration tool should allow you to express those type of workflows and should also enforce these workflows. The work we did in our LISA paper of last year is a first attempt of integrating such kind of things in your in a system configuration tool. Next, we think that system configuration tools should support true integrated management. In every infrastructure, you have different platforms. You have your Microsoft Exchange server for your mail. You have a Unix server which runs your DNS. You have your Cisco responsible for. You have a few Cisco devices responsible for your routing and firewalling. And all of these systems depend on each other. The Exchange server depends on MX records in your DNS. They both depend on the correct configuration of your firewall. And if tools would support true integrated management, you would be able to express those dependencies. And as a consequence, if you change one of the parameters on your firewall, the relevant changes are automatically propagated to your Exchange server and your mail server, which of course results in less errors and a more consistent configuration. We also think that tools should become more declarative, and this is especially true for the commercial tools we studied. Most commercial tools provide just a layer above scripting, above imperative scripts, where you distribute scripts to your managed devices. And because there is so much heterogeneity in your infrastructure, most of these scripts have a lot of evals statements, which of course result in spaghetti code. If your system configuration tool would support a more declarative language, we think that you can express your configuration in a more concise, readable way. Tools should also take into account the CEO's agenda. And this is a remark which is mostly valid for open source tools. CEOs like nice graphs, auditing capabilities, a graphical user interface to check off on their list when they choose a tool. And what we've seen is that most commercial tools, of course, provide all these capabilities for auditing, logging, monitoring, and a graphical user interface for the actual configuration. But typically, open source tools lack a bit in this area. So this is another area for improvement for mostly open source tools. And the last one is that we think that the mental model of a system configuration tool should be that a system is software you install on the system, the configuration of that software, but also the data that your software uses. If a system configuration tool supports advanced features like, for example, I have a web server farm, and I monitor if the web server is still live, and if I detect that there is a problem, I just replicate my web server to another device. This is, of course, a nice feature to have, but it's not enough to just install the Apache software and the correct configuration for your infrastructure on that other device. You also have to think about the data. Your web pages and images, and if it's a mail server, your mailboxes, and you cannot just replicate all the data because you might have two servers available where you need consistency of your data. So the mental model of a system configuration tool should include the data of your infrastructure in addition to the software and the configuration. So those are the areas where we think there is still room for improvement in the current state of the art of system configuration tools. In summary, we think that our framework can help you to make a better decision for which system configuration tool is right for you. I don't think it's a silver bullet. There are a lot of subjective factors that come into play when you choose a system configuration tool. For example, the expertise you have in your organization, maybe you have a preference for one or more vendors to work with, things like that, but those are more subjective factors, and we try to limit the framework to things that are more or less objective or that you can evaluate. And last, I would encourage you to add comments to the website if you detect errors or omissions, and if you feel that there are some important tools missing, you are always free to request an account and make your own evaluation of the tool, and we will be happy to add it to the website. Thank you. So this is the link to the website. I don't know if there are any questions.
We have about 10 minutes for questions. If you have any, please use the microphones in the middle of the room there.
I should also mention the sources of the images we used in the presentation. Go ahead.
My name is Rick Bradshaw, and I work at Argonne National Laboratory. I have a question about your workflow ideas. I do believe that it is very useful to have that information, but I don't know if there is truly an abstraction that would fit all means of anyone's needs. Anytime you have these groups of people, is there such a way that you could abstract and provide some kind of workflow or data flow analysis on top of these? Do you have any recommendations, maybe?
Well, the work we did in our LISA paper of last year was that we tried to define an access control language for a toy system configuration tool so that you can express that. Well, the goal was to be as flexible as possible to express any kind of workflow you might have in your organization dealing with. When can a change go live? Does it first need to go to a staging area on a test infrastructure? Who needs to sign it off? That kind of things. So we think the way to go there is to try to add support to a system configuration tool for specifying access control policies. And if you have that, when you commit a change to your central repository, which is in any kind of version control system, you can link with the fact that you commit something, a check that sees if the person who commits a change to the repository is allowed to do this. And if he's not allowed to do this, well, we experimented with this using Mercurial, and it was actually very easy to just put some hooks on the commit scripts to check if every commit is valid according to the access control rules that are defined.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, Ted Rodriguez Bell with Wells Fargo Bank. Could you talk a little bit about what you found by comparing the matrix you found here with how it's applied in real organizations? both different, you know, how size affects what people want and how kind of corporate culture affects people want. I can imagine CERN being very different from, well, a bank, for example.
Mm-hmm. Well, two things. You have a lot of more, what I said, subjective factors in that, with what kind of tools you have expertise, personal preferences maybe, and those things are not really part of the framework. But what we did was, one of the properties we evaluated is, what is the scalability of every tool? How many machines can it manage? And to check that, we searched for every tool for the largest existing deployment and how it is used. So that kind of information is in the matrix, but the more subjective factors are not really part of the comparison framework.
Thank you.
Thank you.